Okay, I'd like to thank you for joining us here to hear more about a priority issue for agriculture, and that would be trade. I am Carl Bidnarski, president of the Michigan Farm Bureau. My family and I operate a cash crop farm at Tuscola County, where we raise corn, soybeans, dry beans, sugar beets, and wheat. I also want to thank our speakers that are here today that will be introduced shortly. Agriculture has been traditionally a bright spot in the nation's overall balance for trade. In 2017, we exported $140 billion in farm products, which is $21 billion more than we imported. In total, about 25% of U.S. products by value are exported each year. Locally, Michigan exports over $3 billion in food agricultural products. Some of our top export markets are Canada, Japan, Mexico, and South Korea. Because of exports, farm prices are boosted and over 26,000 jobs on the farm and off the farm are contributed to those trade opportunities. Farmers are facing tremendous market uncertainty right now due to trade disputes and with some of agriculture's largest partners, including ongoing renegotiations of NAFTA and escalating tariff threats with China and Europe. China, for example, is the second largest market for U.S. agricultural products. U.S. farmers export more than $19.6 billion worth of their goods to China in 2017. The farm economy, as it stands today, is already facing adversity from many factors, such as weather, low commodity prices, rising interest rates, and record debt. One factor that will certainly help improve the farm economy is a timely and successful resolution of these trade agreements. Because of exports and the certainty that it has within the agricultural community, we're willing to go out on a limb and to take a look at what the administration is doing on these trade agreements. And as we look forward to working with many other countries and administrations and to make sure we have good and fair trade agreements. With me here today, we have a number of guests that are standing behind me. We have Dave Milligan from the National Association of Wheat Growers. We have Dave Williams with the Michigan Soybean Association. We have Gordon Wink, who is the director of Michigan Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources. And Angela Marshall Hoffman, the Deputy Director for Farmers for Free Trade. At this time, I'd like to invite them each to introduce themselves and to provide comments about what trade means to their respective commodities. So we'll start off with Dave Milligan.
Thank you, President Bidnarski. I'm Dave Milligan. We're also a cash crop farm in Tuscola County with my son, growing wheat, corn, soybeans, and dry beans. I'm also a chairman of the Michigan Wheat Program, and as of that, we're a member of the National Association of Wheat Growers, where I hold an office as treasurer. So I speak to you today, I guess, as an officer of National Association of Wheat Growers. Wheat growers are faced with low prices, unprofitable situations, and a lot of this is due to the fact that 50% of the wheat is exported. There's growing exports all around, we're growing surplus of wheat all around the world. As was mentioned this morning, the question was asked about Russia. That's a great example. Back in the 70s, we were selling wheat to Russia. Now Russia's exporting wheat. It's a very competitive market out there. We have top priorities of NAFTA, Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, and China. First, I'll talk about NAFTA. Mexico is either our number one or number two user of our wheat. Now that the uncertainty about NAFTA has come about, those shipments have pretty much ceased. They've bought wheat from Argentina. Anytime you lose a market to another country, it's hard to get it back. We're very concerned. Canada is also part of NAFTA. We have a grading issue with Canada. Our wheat will go into Canada and it'll be graded as feed wheat, even if it's milling quality wheat. Canada wheat can come into the States and it's graded as whatever it is. If it's milling wheat, it's milling wheat. But it makes our wheat going into Canada at a disadvantage. And we see a hard time with NAFTA being the uncertainty now with the president and the G7 conference with a little bit of a skirmish with the prime minister Trudeau. It certainly raises some uncertainty as to NAFTA, but as NOGS, our position is do no harm for NAFTA. Now I'd like to discuss Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. Japan is either number one or number two export. Last year we sold 113 million bushel in there. And if the TPP goes through without us being part of it, Canada and Australia and other countries that are part of that will have $1.75 advantage to our wheat, made very hard. The estimates are that we will lose half of that market that we now have. Last year that was a $500 million market. Then we'll talk a little briefly about China. It was the undersecretary did a great job of talking about China, I think. It's the biggest user of wheat in the world. Last year we put 61 million bushel in there. We now have a WTO, a case against China for two issues. One being that they like to borrow our intellectual property rights. That was discussed earlier. And also they do have support prices to their farmers that are in violation of WTO. Great support prices. They have prices that we would love to have. And then we'll discuss, of course, now with the tariffs, it started out at $50 billion, and now it's up to $200 billion tariffs with China. It's certainly a great concern to all of us. So we certainly encourage fair trade agreements and fair practices with China. I guess I'll comment a little bit my personal feelings about ag economics. I'm not an educated economist, but I know on my farm or my house, to make anything succeed, you gotta have more income coming in, you have expenses going out. And I see that being pretty much the way the United States is when it comes to trade. We need to sell more than we buy. And what a great product we have in Michigan, in the United States, in wheat and other products. So thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is David Williams. I'm president of the Michigan Soybean Association, and I'm happy to be here representing soybean farmers this morning. I'm a fifth-generation farmer in central Michigan. I farm with my nephew, who's a sixth generation, and he has two daughters that hopefully will be the seventh generation on our farm. However, if we can't resolve some of these trade issues and bring our commodity prices back up to where they were even a month ago, I don't know how possible that will be. We've lost almost $2 in the soybean market alone, and I understand that we need to improve our trade relations with other countries. However, I think we could do it better without tariffs and through negotiation than by threats and innuendo. It's difficult for me to be able to answer questions from our membership about where we're going to get that extra $2 back in our market. So I would encourage the administration to rethink its policy and sit down at the table and negotiate rather than make threats. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Gordon Wink, Director of Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. It is great to be here this morning to talk about agriculture and trade in Michigan. As President Bernarski mentioned, over $3 billion worth of trade activity within the state of Michigan. We're blessed to have great producers in the state of Michigan, great farmers producing great commodities, over 300 of them. And so as we talk about trade and the importance of trade, it hits every sector of our ag economy. We're fortunate that we do have as many commodities, and trade is certainly an important aspect of that. We've grown the total food and ag sector over the last 8 years from $94 billion to $104 billion. We've added $10 billion worth of activity, and the ability to trade in a free manner is important to the ag sector. So certainly we hope that this uncertainty gets negotiated in a fair fashion for all concerned, especially for the ag sector within the state of Michigan. We're continuing to reach out to our trading partners. We've got a trade mission going to Canada later this year. We're reaching out to new markets, Australia and New Zealand. We've even made some overtures to India. And of course, China, we have a trade mission going back to China. We still want to make sure that Michigan agricultural products and agricultural processors and businesses are given opportunity to show what we can do here in the state. And we hope that these larger trade issues get resolved in a manner that is conducive to agriculture continuing to grow, not only in Michigan, but across the country. So thank you very much.
So President Bernarski, Commissioner Wink. There we go. How's that? So thank you very much for having the opportunity to be here today. My name is Angela Marshall Hoffman, and I'm the Deputy Director of Farmers for Free Trade. Farmers for Free Trade is a bipartisan nonprofit. It's co-chaired by former Senator and Ambassador Max Baucus from Montana and Richard Lugar from Indiana. And we've been working very hard across the country and in partnership with lead organizations such as the Farm Bureau, the pork producers, the apple growers, corn, and wheat, working with rural America to tell their story about the importance of international trade at a time when, as we've heard earlier, $21 billion trade surplus. That matters. Exports matter. We're also at a time when we have a number of policies pending that are impacting our growers on their top and bottom line. We're seeing the impacts of some of the steel and aluminum tariffs also impacting the cost of implements, of equipment, of fencing, and more. And then at a time when certainty matters for long-term relationships. We've heard it's taken 20, 30 years for soybeans to build the relationship with China. But these relationships matter. And so we look forward to quickly resolving many of our trade agreements, moving into expanding those markets, and then keep growing our international trade in a way that benefits our farms, our communities, and our families. So one thing we've been doing across the country is also having a number of banners signed by our growers. So I'm going to invite our speakers today to put their name on these banners. We literally have thousands and thousands of farmer representatives from across the country who have signed their names to the Farmer for Free Trade banners. These banners have been taken to Washington, D.C. They've been taken to Canada and Mexico during the NAFTA rounds, and we will continue to make sure that the voices are heard, because what we do know is that the president is listening, but listening directly to the producers, the state representatives, and those who very much are part of what he represents and respects, the farmers and ranchers who know this business. So I'm going to invite our speakers to sign, and then I think we'll open up to questions.
Everybody's finding the perfect spot to sign.
I know. You've got to be focused.
full time, I think he's going to be.
No, it's fine. We're good.
You good? Did you get it? Did you get it?
I say, I spelled it wrong. Are you done, Angela? Let me find where we're at here. Okay, at this time, though, we are going to open it up if there are any questions that would come from the audience here at this time. Sir? I'll take that one. And when we take a look at dairy isn't just milk, as you identify. There's a lot of trade issues pertaining to milk, whether it's a Class 7 milk that we're talking about that Canada created, which is an ultra-pasteurized, ultra-filtered milk, which we don't have access to that market, even though we do have pacified milk in Michigan, pasteurized. When we take a look at the number of other issues you bring up that we have with Canada in identifying cheeses, like you say, and that doesn't only Canada, that goes across the different countries. When we take a look at the Parmesan cheese, not being able to call it perhaps Parmesan because it references a town in Europe. Those are some of the things we see, and I think you heard the Undersecretary mention briefly a little bit about that earlier when you take a look at the sanitary, phytosanitary umbrella that we can fall under. And that's sort of the same concept with that is what can we fall under to perhaps call it a trade restriction without really calling it a trade restriction if we can identify certain opportunities like that. Angela, you asked June.
Yes, and I'll just give a follow-on. Sort of related to this, what we're seeing are markets of ag retaliation happening. So not only do you see the potential loss of a future market, but for example, right now in the context of the NAFTA dispute, actually the parallel piece is the steel and aluminum. Mexico's retaliating, and dairy is on that list. So they're getting the reciprocal trade retaliation on dairy right now.
Does anybody want to?
He was talking about like a compensation fund for lost market share. And some of the question has been whether the farm country supports the market share, it's the longer term relations.
Yeah, where could you capture that from?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, let me try that one there. Yeah. Look, well, when you take out that long term approach of where are we going to make that loss up? Is it going to be a program or something that you hear the president say that we're going to take care of farmers, we're going to take care of agriculture? But the thing is, though, we still have a period of time here that we can address that. And the time is getting short, but I think we still have that opportunity. We are losing some value, absolutely. I won't discredit that. But the thing is, though, we have an opportunity here of 60 days, I would say, before we really started getting the harvest. That would be great if we could get a trade deal done with minimal impact, I think, to the commodities. I think if we can get a good trade deal done, I think we'll see those prices rebound with the uncertainty gone in those trade agreements.
I'm more looking, what's your thoughts on using something from the government to make up for that loss?
Oh, I'm concerned about that. I don't want to borrow more money to keep my farm operating. I already have plenty of interest expense on things that I chose to purchase, not things that have been imposed upon me.
That's a good question. And certainly there's the farm impact that happens when you get into these uncertainty in the markets, but it's also the processor impact because they're the folks that are taking those commodities, adding value. And it certainly is a big sector within the state of Michigan. That's one of the sectors that we're working at trying to help expand and grow and have seen some success in that. But once that company starts losing market share somewhere, it's hard to get that market share back because they can find that oftentimes in a trade situation, you can find that market someplace else. We're not the only state that produces dried cherries or yogurt or whatever the product may be. Do I see some of our companies moving offshore to other countries? Not at this point. I think the point that President Bernarski made, folks are saying, okay, we understand there's some uncertainty in the market right now, but we're going to see where the trade negotiations go before we start moving our company someplace else. One, if you're a cherry processor, the cherries are here. Moving your company to Brussels, you're not going to find, you're not going to find Michigan cherries in Brussels. So I've not heard of any companies that are looking at moving from the state of Michigan to another country because of the trade issue at this point. So that'd be the answer. Yep.
Let me take a stab at that. When we take a look at agriculture in Michigan, and we take a look at trade, which we rely on very much so, with Michigan being the second most diverse state in the Union outside of California, we take a look at that, but then we also take a look at what's outside of agriculture. Agriculture is in rural communities in this state. We're not going to pick up our farms and move them to another location. We're here. These are our communities. When we see issues happening with manufacturing, when you see issues outside of agriculture, we take a look at them because they're our communities. They're part of us. So we're not just ag focused. We look at the economy in general around us because we are here. And we take a look at the trade negotiations going on in manufacturing and agriculture. It plays a bigger role into a producer's mind because we're part of that fabric and we want everyone to succeed in our local communities, and we just can't be single-minded, single-focused. Yes, we are on edge on seeing what happens with these trade issues because it's going to affect us directly, but we're willing to wait and see a little bit longer how this is going to come together. Perhaps it'll be a better deal than we have before. Perhaps it'll help some of our other members of the community and other segments outside of agriculture, and we can all prosper from that trade negotiations.
Are we in agreement that there is cheating going on? It's been that way for quite a while. I know Undersecretary of China
Well, there's creative ways to isolate a product from another country. You just can't say, no, we're not going to allow that product in. I think you heard this morning the undersecretary talk about biotechnology in Europe. If you sit down with government officials in Europe, they would love to have it. But they find a way to say, we know your product's good, but to protect our product, we're going to say we want products that are non-GMO. So, in other words, it's a protectionism measure that they've used, but haven't come out and said it because they said we'll take non-GMO and yours is GMO, so I'm sorry, we won't be able to take it. There's a lot of instances like that around the world where the undersecretary mentioned the phytosanitary, where they have regulations that say you don't meet our standards, and so we can't take your products. A recent one was with China when they talked about with soybeans, mainly with the inert material that when we export soybeans to China. The inert material is the FM, if there's some foreign material that's in there, whether it's leaves or maybe a little dirt or something like that. Well, China had put more stringent guidelines on the inert material going to China, which would be a bigger burden on us to provide that lower standard, higher standard of meeting that recommendation, that law, which throws a burden on us, which basically throws a burden back onto the farmer. So ultimately, it's a way to slow down trade or make it more restrictive. I don't know if you can get a sound bite out of that one, but there was quite a dissertary there. So, Angela, anything you want to add to that?
Oh, I would just say a couple things to keep in mind. We've got a lot of trade issues pending right now. And NAFTA modernization is one way that you resolve these disputes. You bring these issues to the table. The parties are negotiating right now. It's a great opportunity for us to fix a lot of these longstanding terms. And again, this is a 25-year relationship. You got to keep tuning up these relationships continually. Second, we have a number of new markets we want to open up. We've heard a lot about TPP. How do you get back in the game of negotiating new markets such as Japan? That's very important at a time when our other trading partners are rapidly negotiating bilateral agreements with the countries that we want to be doing business with. And so this is a time where we're not just in the game, we're out of the game while the rest of the world is moving ahead. And then finally, I think the most important thing we're seeing right now is just this pressure point between, you know, market share that's shrinking and the cost of goods going up. That it's a point where we're operating on razor-thin margins. So farmers we hear across the country are not looking for compensation right now. They're looking for contracts and a way to continue to sell their goods and get a good price so they can afford to keep doing what they do the very best and provide the most affordable and highest quality food in the world.
Good? Okay, I'd just like to say thank you again for taking part in this, this interview or a press conference here.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward. If you need further comments, we're all available here for a period of time, so grab any of us.